Jerry Bader Show, 946. Let's see, where was that there? There's a story. Yeah. This is where I want to start with this. As we talk about the shutdown, AP did a survey of who Americans are blaming for the shutdown these days. Every headline over this story is GOP gets blame for shutdown. GOP gets blame for shutdown. Now, is that entirely false? No. Is it entirely true? No. It is not. Here's what the latest polling, again, by AP shows. 62% of Americans blame Republicans. Okay, that's high. But 49% blame everybody else, including President Obama. So if you just read that, it suggests that, well, see, they're still blaming Republicans. In fact, what this represents is a movement in the numbers. That's what it represents. Because a much larger majority and a much smaller minority previously blamed Republicans and Democrats respectively. It's evening out is what is happening. And the president's approval rating has plummeted to 37%. That's practically cratering. And you have to read deep into AP's story to find that out. Deep in AP's story. That's just the reality. It just is. He has cratered. And they are now, all of these things that we talked about, all of the things that we've done, chronicled on this show, all of the hateful, childish, petulant things that President Obama has done to punish Americans in this shutdown is starting to come home to roost. You are seeing that now. And you are seeing it in spades. His approval rating is down to 37%. Meanwhile, more and more and more people are blaming the president. It's just about 50%, where 62% blame Republicans. That is through all that media filter that you're seeing that. And yet, this is evening. This is tightening. That's what's going on. Now, someone who has been conspicuous by his absence in this, at least publicly, has been Congressman Paul Ryan until yesterday. Now, there's been a lot of speculation. Well, where's Paul Ryan? Where's Paul Ryan? Titular head of the Republican Party after being running mate last year. Where's Paul Ryan in all of this? Publicly, yes, he's been rather quiet. Privately, behind the scenes until yesterday when he had a piece in the Wall Street Journal, apparently he's been quite busy. And now he's front and center in this. The Wall Street Journal writes, the partisan logjam that has paralyzed the Capitol shows signs of easing Wednesday as conservative Republicans warm to the idea of a short-term increase in the country's borrowing limit and House GOP leaders prepared for their first meeting with President Barack Obama since the government shut down. Paul Ryan, chair of the House Budget Committee, outlined a plan yesterday to fellow conservatives to extend the nation's borrowing limit from 4 to 6 weeks, paired with a framework for broader deficit reduction talks, according to lawmakers briefed on the proposal. The greater the spending reduction the talks produced, the longer the next extension of the debt ceiling would be under Mr. Ryan's plan. Now, here's where this gets complicated. Where it gets complicated is there are still Republicans holding out that they want all of this tied to Obamacare. House Speaker John Boehner, and obviously Ryan is part of this, has pivoted away from that. And what you have going on now is they're saying, let's make this about entitlement reform. Let's make this about the budget. But there are still holdouts who feel no, that this should still be about defunding Obamacare. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens as this moves forward. What's going to happen, though, President Obama said Tuesday and yesterday that he was open to a short-term debt limit increase, which is interesting because that means he's willing to negotiate about something. But he wants to, it'll be interesting to see if this is a trap that he's setting. Well, yeah, we'll do a short term and then we can negotiate. But then he goes right back to where he was and says, well, no, I'm not going to give on this, that, or the other thing. So I don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting to see. As I said, there are some Republicans, though, who don't want to give up on making this about Obamacare, even though Boehner has pivoted. Representative Matt Salmon, Arizona Republican, one of the conservatives who had pushed party leaders to fight over the health law, said he could support a plan extending the country's borrowing authority by a month or so in order to initiate broader budget talks with Mr. Obama. It's a provocative idea, Mr. Salmon said. Anything that gets us to a meaningful reduction of spending, long-term mandatory spending, should be on the table. Heritage Action, a prominent conservative group leading the charge against the health law, said he would support a short-term extension of the country's borrowing limit, but only to refocus the fight on the health law. We should raise the debt limit, Heritage Action Chief Executive Michael Needham said at a breakfast organized by the Christian Science Monitor, but he insisted that curbs on the health law be attached to any measure reopening the government, and it's easy to forget that you have two things going on here. You do. What Boehner has tried to do is tie together reopening the government and the debt limit. That's what he's trying to do. However, there are some Republicans saying, yeah, okay, make the debt limit, the debt ceiling, make that about the budget and entitlement reform. But look, defunding Obamacare is what brought us to this moment, and we're going to stay there. Stopping Obamacare is still mission number one. That's still what we're talking about. At least for a lot of Republicans, it is. So given that, it'll be interesting to see how that's going to shake out. We were expecting to talk to Reid Ribble in this segment. We have not heard from him. Jason's checking with his office, and we may be able to get him on later in the show. I don't know how that's going to shake out, though. We'll have to see. Something else that's going on that's kind of interesting. Representative Justin Amash fancied himself as the next Rand Paul. He is a representative from Michigan. And he became very prominent this past year with a series of votes, the Wall Street Journal points out, including a bid to unseat House Speaker John Boehner. That made him very popular in Tea Party circles, but as the Wall Street Journal puts it, rattled the Republican establishment. He is now facing a primary challenge from the center. The Republican establishment is right now at war with what I would call the Ted Cruz caucus. And it does want to punish those who think that they think the Republican establishment thinks has put the party at risk. The other argument that's being made against Justin Amash, representative from Michigan, is that he's too worried about his national prominence, too worried about being the next Ron Paul. If I said Ran, I meant Ron. The next Ron Paul. And isn't worried enough about constituents. And in fact, what's interesting is leading the charge against Amash is a wealthy 53-year-old investment advisor, Brian Ellis, who this week announced his challenge to Amash in next year's GOP primary. There's a lot of disgruntlement with Justin Amash here among those who think he's more interested in creating a national profile as a successor to Ron Paul than he is in representing his district as a congressman should, said Ken Sikkema, Republican and former Michigan Senate Majority Leader. Let me tell you something. When I was at the Republican National Convention in Tampa last year, I spent a lot of time with a co-worker in Midwest Communications who works for the radio station that we have in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And he actually stayed with the Michigan group of the Michigan delegation. And I noticed that you want to talk about the Republican establishment. Over beers, I got into very heated arguments with that group. And I don't even remember his name, and if I did, I wouldn't share it with you. But I spoke with someone in the Michigan Republican Party who hated Sarah Palin, felt she wrecked the party. The mainstream Michigan Republican Party is very, very moderate. They see Gerald Ford as the model. So I'm not surprised at this at all, that this is happening in Michigan, because I was really surprised. I mean, we really got into it. He and I really got into what he sees as wrecking the Republican Party. The question is, does this movement grow outside of Michigan? It's 9:58.
Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.